Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. Welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
And this is episode 95.
Wow. That's a lot of episodes.
It is a lot of episodes.
I've said it before. I'll say it again.
Yes, and you'll probably say it yet again.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so tonight, you'll have to excuse us a little bit. It's spring in Pennsylvania. So both of us are having little issues with our sinuses. And our throats are a little scratchy, and we will do our best not to cough or sneeze during the podcast, but it's how it is here. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So we're always researching topics and trying to find new information to give you. Wayne found a really good article. It's actually from August 12th of 2023, but just came up when he was searching, and it's from marriage.com. It's called Seven Practical Ways to Build Physiological Fitness in Marriage.
Never even heard of that.
I never did either. I never even gave that as a thought.
Nope.
So this is by Sylvia Smith, and it was reviewed by Shannon McHugh, psychologist for Accuracy. It goes through the different, gives you an overview of what's included in the article. And as always, I will post a link to the article in the description of the podcast so you can access it yourself. It talks about what is physiological fitness in marriage, the connection between physical fitness and relationship quality in marriage, benefits of physiological fitness in marriage, seven practical ways to develop physiological fitness in marriage, challenges in maintaining I knew I was going to get stuck on this word eventually.
That's why I said you should talk more than me.
Physiological fitness in marriage and more worthy questions, keeping yourself in the marriage healthy. Ask the expert and share your tips. She goes on to introduce the article by saying that the human body is a complex system. Human physiology is the science of mechanical, physical, and biochemical functions. So it's everything that has to do with how your body functions.
In the marriage, be all that together for both of us working together.
Yes. She says that they almost work together in order for someone to be healthy and feel happy, and that the study of human physiology involves figuring out how we adapt to different things that affect us in life. So like exercise, disease, stress, those different things that we come in contact or experience in our life. And she said that it's essential to study these things so that doctors can best help people with physiological issues. She goes on to add that a marriage is just as complex. It's made up of two very different people who come from different backgrounds. They come together for one common reason, love.
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 But the way they behave day to day and the way they deal with issues can be very different. We've talked about this on a lot of other episodes of the podcast. The physiology of marriage is how all the parts of married life work together to create a beautiful union of two healthy individuals. Very interesting.
It is interesting.
So she asks the question, how can you develop good physiological fitness in marriage? Putting it another way, how do you keep a marriage alive and functioning? And she suggests that we keep reading the article to find out what. So then she goes on to define what physiological fitness is in marriage. Physiological fitness in marriage refers to the overall health and well-being of the marriage and both partners within the relationship. It encompasses various aspects, including physical, emotional, and mental fitness. So that's really a lot all comes together. I never thought about all those unique parts of us as individuals having an effect on our marriage.
Right, but it makes sense that it does because it does affect the marriage.
Yeah. Right. So she says that physically it means taking care of one's health, maintaining an active lifestyle, and prioritizing self-care. Emotionally, it involves nurturing a supportive and loving environment. She also talks about how environment affects us this way. Fostering open communication and managing stress effectively. I mean, these are all things that they talk about mm-hmm. when you read articles on self-care right. or stress reduction or whatever. These are all the things that the experts talk about that we need to address personally. So she's saying that together, we need to address them together for the health of the marriage.
Yeah. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah. She says, mentally, it means maintaining psychological fitness in the marriage by cultivating a positive mindset, being resilient in the face of challenges, and seeking personal growth. By prioritizing physiological fitness, couples can create a strong foundation for a thriving and harmonious marriage, promoting happiness, connection, and longevity. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
So then she goes on to talk about the connection between physical fitness and relationship quality in marriage. She said that they found through research that the connection is undeniable, that when both partners prioritize their physical well-being, it positively impacts their relationship. And she goes on to talk about how regular exercise releases endorphins, which boost mood mm-hmm. and reduce stress and can enhance communication and emotional connection. I never thought about that, which I know like people who like to run. And mm-hmm. and we will tell you, we are not experts on physical fitness. So this is new information for us. But I know that people who run like to run for that endorphin mm-hmm. release that makes them feel better, reduces their stress because they're going for that. She says that engaging in physical activities together fosters shared experiences and promotes bonding. She also says that taking care of one's physical health shows a commitment and self-respect, which can inspire admiration and support within the relationship.
Hmm.
So I guess she's talking about being a good example for each other.
Right.
Hmm.
Well, she says it also leads to improved physical appearance, which can enhance attraction and spark a renewed sense of desire between partners. Let's see, what else does she say? Engaging in physical activities together promotes quality time, shared experiences, and the opportunity to bind and connect on a deeper level. I know you see in movies and stuff, you see the husbands and wives actively exercising and doing stuff like that together. I can't say we've ever done anything like that.
We like to take walks together. Yeah. We enjoy taking mm-hmm. walks together. We've done canoeing together. That's a physical activity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Never gone to the gym with me.
No, you've never gone to the gym with me.
Yeah, that's because I don't go to the gym.
Well, I used to, but I can't even remember how long ago that was. Anyway, we digress from the article.
I tried running once.
We apparently need to take a heed to this article and work on some improvement on this. So, yes, and the author says that physical fitness, again, releases endorphins, enhancing mood and promoting emotional well-being, which strengthens the emotional connection between partners, and that prioritizing physiological fitness supports long-term health, ensuring both partners are more likely to enjoy a higher quality of life together as they age. We're at the point where we wish we had done this when we were younger and paid more attention to our physical health, but it's not too late. We can start doing more now that we know how impactful this is for the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The author goes on to offer 7 practical ways to develop physiological fitness in marriage. She says it's a journey that requires effort and commitment from both partners. The first one she suggests is to create a positive marriage environment. Your surrounding atmosphere can make a big difference to your physiological readiness for marriage. It can also help you to navigate different phases of marriage with ease. When you wake up in the morning, do you feel annoyed and frustrated? When you go throughout your day, do you not really want to be together? When you are together, are you feeling tense or angry? If so, you may have a negative marriage environment. And if things stay this way for very long, she says that the marriage can function well and it won't last. I never thought about the atmosphere and environment affecting that, which I know that sometimes like when the house gets messy or cluttered, if we get really busy and we don't do a good job of keeping stuff picked up, it really stresses me out. Mm-hmm. So I never thought about how that affects our marriage relationship.
Mm-hmm.
She said that people don't wake up looking forward to being frustrated and angry. They want to be happy. But the question is, how do you create a positive marriage environment? A simple answer is by being positive. She says, well, we may feel that things just happen as they will. We do have a choice in the matter. You can make a daily choice to be positive. Mm-hmm. I would like to delve a little bit more into this because Like, when she was talking about the environment, I thought she meant, like, the physical environment. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was talking about how the house frustrates me. But I guess it's our attitudes towards each other. I was going to say,
this is attitude stuff.
Yeah, attitudes towards each other. And that affects our environment. I don't want to wake up and be grumpy. So you make,
I don't want you to wake
you
up
make coffee for me so that I don't, so I'm not grumpy.
And it's safe to be around you.
It's safe to be around me, yes, because you make coffee.
And for other people to be around you.
Yes. But we'll have to think about this one a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Number two is a really easy one. Smile at your spouse and speak kind words to them. Have a positive mindset. Wake up with hope and a happy attitude. If things have been tense for a while, this may not come naturally. And if your spouse acts annoyed at you, it will be hard to just brush it off, but just be positive anyway. She said this is something that's a lesson in practice. It takes you a while to get through that. But there's a lot of research that shows that you can affect what your body does by what you think and what you say. I've done a lot of research in that area, and there's a statement I've read in articles that I've read that says that the brain only knows the truth that you tell it. And so if you tell it that you're happy,
you are,
long enough, you will be happy. And if you tell it that you're upset or angry or frustrated long enough, that's what you'll be, because it believes what you tell it about yourself. And that's actually scientific. That's not like wooey new age or anything. That's scientific fact. If you have been saying negative things about your marriage, this is an opportunity to say positive things about your marriage. And one of the things, when we do deliverance ministry with people, one of the things that we lead people through is prayers of forgiveness when they have anger issues, especially anger issues towards people. Usually that's what you're angry with, is people. And we get to a point where we have them pray to forgive and bless the person that they have been angry with. And this often isn't easy, especially if it's somebody who's abused them, or, you know, it's really been a bad situation. And they'll say, oh, I can't do that because I'd be lying. And we explain to them that it's in God's will for us to forgive people and to bless them, no matter how they've wronged us. Jesus is our example for that. So when we ask them to forgive and bless, we tell them that you don't have to mean it. You're doing it out of obedience to act in a Christ-like way to people. It doesn't excuse people for what they did, but you need to forgive and bless them. And that the more you say it out loud, the more your feelings will eventually line up with it. And then you won't feel like you're lying anymore. You actually will be able to say it and mean it. So that's the same principle that you would apply here with this mindset on your marriage and speaking positive thoughts, is to speak things, you know, my husband and I love each other. My husband and I get along well. My husband and I communicate well. You want to put everything in like a present tense, first person, it's happening right now. Not it will happen, or don't put negatives in like, we don't fight, we just say we get along well, those kind of things. So we spend quality time together.
You need to make the choice.
Yes, you need to definitely make it a choice. Yep. Offer service to each other daily. We've addressed this in some other podcasts. When we are selfish, a marriage can't function. A me attitude means you just care about yourself and your wants. A marriage can't thrive when either or both of the spouses are selfish. A marriage is about two people coming together in a strong bond. The best way to be less selfish is to serve each other. Do little things for your spouse every day. Iron their shirts. I don't think anybody irons anymore. Well, you do iron once in a while.
I do. If
he
I
does his own ironing. But you've ironed my shirts, so you serve me that way. And I've ironed your shirts. Make their favorite meal, pick up their dry cleaning, grab their favorite item at the store, give them a back rub. You get the idea. And those are the kind of things that help make a marriage strong. This is one that we talk about all the time. Communicate. You say it your way.
Communicate.
Yes. Open the lines of communication. Keeping your thoughts and feelings to yourself can be detrimental to a marriage. When you don't talk about what's bothering you, your hopes and dreams, your fears, etc., then how is your spouse supposed to know how to best help you, how to support you? They can't. You have to open up the lines of communication. It can be difficult to be so vulnerable with someone, and you may, especially like in the beginning, especially if you're in a relationship and you've had other relationships where, you know, trust was broken, and even though you've married this person or you're getting ready to marry them, you may still be working on developing that trust again. You may feel that you run the risk of being rejected, but the marriage can't survive if spouses don't communicate. In turn, the spouses can't get their needs met, and that's how a marriage can function in the best way. Number 5 is connect on a deeper level in the bedroom. Okay, so this, if you have little ones with you, this is an adult theme here. There are many parts to a marriage, but one important part is sexual intimacy. Unfortunately, in some marriages, sex is all about the physical act itself. That may be okay for a while, but a marriage can't function long term if intimacy is just about the physical results. That sexual intimacy is so much more than that. It's about the literal union of the two spouses. They become one. The way that happens is important. To develop a deeper connection in the bedroom, of course, starts outside the bedroom with how you treat each other. As each person feels safe and loved, coming together inside the bedroom becomes easier and more desirable. So that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a quote, was actually our pastor in a sermon, quoted an expert in saying that couples who have more frequent sex and have a better sex life actually get along better and are less likely to get divorced. So
Take it for what it is.
Take it for what it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, take it for what it is. That might not be the exact quote, but that was it. Number 6, cook and eat healthy. Cooking and eating healthy together can have numerous benefits for physiological fitness in marriage. By preparing nutritious meals, couples can not only improve their physical health, but also enhance their relationship. Cooking together encourages teamwork, communication, and shared responsibilities. So I think that's something that we enjoy, is we enjoy cooking together and trying.
We just did that tonight.
Yeah, we did it tonight. Trying new recipes, you know, and ingredients. And it creates kind of a sense of adventure to see what's happening. In fact, we made something tonight and we didn't think anything was going to turn out well. And it actually ended up being a very delicious meal.
Mm-hmm.
And the 7th tip is to practice mindful relaxation. In the hustle and bustle of life, practicing mindful relaxation as a couple can have a profound impact on physiological fitnesses in marriage. Engaging in activities such as prayer, meditation, deep breathing exercises helps reduce stress, calms the mind, and promotes emotional well-being. By incorporating these practices into their routine, couples can create a peaceful atmosphere and cultivate a sense of tranquility within their relationship. I think you could add to that, like listening to worship music together, that type of thing. So, all right. Well, we have hit the end of our time for the podcast tonight. So, go check out this article. The link is in the podcast description. There's more to it. There's challenges in maintaining physiological fitness in marriage, and talks more about physiological needs in marriage and some examples of physiological fitness in marriage. So make sure that you go check this out. Put keeping yourself in the marriage healthy as a priority. She ends with, marriage is complex, but as we study and pay attention to all the moving parts, we can better understand what makes a marriage tick. And in the process, we can work to develop strong physiological fitness in marriage.
Yep.
All right. Well, I hope this has been helpful. Certainly given us something to think about. So until next time, we pray that your relationships and marriages will be richly blessed.
God bless. Good night now.
Good night.